This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
It's an all too familiar story. A growing number of Americans are burdened by heavy college debt years after they graduate. We've known for a while that record numbers of student borrowers are in financial distress.
But as tuition and college costs continue to rise, there's a new generation that is increasingly burdened by this. Parents. Millions of parents who have taken out loans to help pay for their children's education. Here are some numbers from the Federal Reserve cited recently by the New York Times.
Since 2005, the number of student loan borrowers age 60 or older has tripled to more than 2 million. They owe $43 billion, and according to the Times, they are now the fastest growing age group for college debt.
So this represents a whole new dimension to the student loan crisis, a parent loan crisis. And it's the focus of a recent investigative article by ProPublica in the Chronicle of Higher Education entitled The Parent Loan Trap. And joining us now is Marian Wang. She's a reporter at ProPublica. And welcome to Radio Boston, Marian. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Anthony.
And if we could put a human face on the story, your piece starts off by telling us about Gemma Nemenzo, a single mom who decided to help her daughter pay for her college education at NYU. So she took out a $17,000 loan. How did that work out for Ms. Nemenza?
Well, it hasn't been easy. She took out $17,000 for her daughter for 2 years at NYU, and NYU is a, you know, elite private institution. And, you know, they since have fallen behind on that loan because Gemma Nemenza did not make that much to begin with. She made about $25,000, and she had, you know, $17,000 in debt. And so they've fallen behind, and that amount that they owe has doubled due to interest and accrued interest and fees. So it's been hard. It's a stressor for her, and she's very worried about her credit. And she, you know, because of her credit being damaged by having fallen behind on this loan, she hasn't been able to borrow for her second daughter.
So she took out something called a Parent Plus loan. And last year, the federal government dispersed some $10.5 billion in Parent Plus loans to about a million families. What exactly is this? Well, tell us about what a Parent Plus loan is.
Well, so most people are familiar with federal student loans, but the Parent Plus is essentially a loan program through which parents borrow in their own name to help their children fund college. And it's strictly in the parent's name, and you can essentially borrow as much as you need to cover, you know, the full cost of attendance short of any other grants or scholarships or other aid that they get. And so it's, you know, the federal student loan is capped at a specific dollar amount, usually $5,000 or $7,000. But the Parent Plus loan is essentially the only federal program that you can use to pay for undergrad that is elastic and can sort of absorb the increasing costs of college because the federal loan is so strictly capped that it isn't usually enough to cover, you know, an expensive private institution's tuition. And so increasingly you see more parents borrowing more money, in fact, through this Parent Plus loan program.
So there's no cap, and you report that it's very easy to get into this kind of loan, but that an increasing number of parents are getting in and discovering that if they can't pay it back, they end up in a pretty difficult situation.
Well, it's relative to the private market, it certainly is very easy to get this loan. You're absolutely right that there are not really any controls in terms of checking over borrowing. You know, there's not a sense in which, oh, if you don't make enough, you're not going to be able to get this loan. And the idea behind that is to sort of preserve financial access for low-income families who might otherwise not be able to find funding for college through the private market, through a private student loan, because they might not qualify. But it is easier to get it on the front end. Families do find themselves sometimes in over their heads.
And if they're in over their heads, the government takes a pretty hard line. Wages can be garnished. Social Security can be tapped into. So a lot of folks end up in a pretty tough situation, according to your reporting. And do we have any idea how many parents have defaulted on these loans or put it in some sort of perspective for us?
You know, the federal government, when we asked the Ed Department this for default numbers, they didn't have a clear sense of how many are currently in default. And that was surprising to us. They had estimates, and they published estimates on, you know, how many may eventually default within the next 10 years, that sort of thing. But they don't actually have any clear figures on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marian Wang, stand by. Listeners, we're talking about the parent loan trap, the growing number of parent borrowers who are falling into deep, deep debt to help pay for their children's college education. Are you one of these parents, or are you a student or a college grad who is relying on your parents to do this? We'd love to hear your story and let us know how it's working out for you. Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. ProPublica reporter Marian Wang is with us. And joining us now in the studio is Bob Hildreth. He's the founder of FUEL here in Boston. That stands for Families United in Educational Leadership, which helps lower-income families save for their children's education. Bob Hildreth, thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
And before we talk about some of the specifics about how these loans work, how big a problem is parent college indebtedness? What are you seeing out there?
I see it part of the general problem of college indebtedness in general. I can imagine that the same kind of factors apply. One is that the government is a lousy lender. If bank examiners came in and saw what they were doing for Parent Plus, they would shut them down. If you wanted to get a student a car loan, you would be asked for both your credit history, had you defaulted, and your income history. Do you have a job? For Parent Plus loans, as this article very correctly mentions, nobody asks if you have any income at all. So that it's built into the cake that this loan is going to be defaulted on. If you look at the whole college loan picture in terms of how big a problem it is, on the one hand, you have a college loan number, which is now over $1 trillion, $1.1 million, of which about 10% of that, or close to $100 billion, is in default from 6 million people. Now, against that bad news is the fact that parents are showing increased willingness to indebt themselves and to indebt their children in order for them to get into prestige schools. And you're also seeing that the government is collecting on the defaulters because they have the entire means that you just mentioned, such as garnishing wages, to collect this debt. So I would say that...
But Bob, wait, before we run away too far from this parent plus loan thing, what's your advice about this? I mean, it sounds like you're saying bad idea, stay away from them.
Exactly. It's time to break into the prestige versus value decision on college and to say that in Massachusetts, as an example, what they say all over the rest of the country, the state school is your best option.
Okay. So, yeah, obviously that's going to cost a lot less. Marian, I'm interested to know how colleges and universities actually steer parents toward these loans. How does that work?
Well, it's clearly an option that, you know, financial aid offices can and should inform students and their families about, because it is a loan program that is available to them. However, some schools actually do take the additional step of packaging this loan into the financial aid letters that are sent to students. And so, you know, they may not offer you enough aid or enough of a scholarship to actually meet any outstanding need that you have. And so what families or colleges will often do is calculate, you know, the gap that you still have, the money that you still need in order to make this full cost of attendance, and they will drop in a Parent Plus loan suggestion or recommendation in that exact amount and send it to you. And
so in other words, they'll say, we'll cover this much of your education, and if you get a Parent Plus loan, that will cover the rest of what you need. So that initial letter might look like, hey, everything's covered, but you need to sort of...
That initial letter, right, it'll say offered financial aid, which, you know, many people disagree about whether loans should be called aid, but, you know, usually it is considered that, and it'll say offered financial aid or eligible for this amount of financial aid, and I will match the exact amount on the cover, on the letter that says, you know, cost of attendance. And so, you know, families who aren't super financially savvy may just look at those numbers and feel a lot more comfortable than they should, given the amount of debt.
So, Bob Hildreth, does this point to the need for better oversight, better disclosure on the part of colleges and university? What's your take on this?
Absolutely. I totally agree with the question of whether loans should be financial aid. But ubiquitously, the financial aid letter puts them as financial aid. Look at why a Parent PLUS loan would be considered financial aid, because the government says it has a subsidized interest rate. The interest rate on Parent PLUS loans is 7.9%. That's higher than any interest rate in the country. It was a subsidized rate 10 years ago, but today that's very high. It's very dangerous to parents not to include loans in a separate category. Mm-hmm. And there is Arnie Duncan, the Department of Education, is trying to force this, but so far there's not a lot of movement.
And Bob, what about co-signing as opposed to Parent PLUS loans? Is that a good idea for parents to step in and co-sign student loans to help out their kids?
Loans that are co-signed are loans that are subject to much better loan underwriting. That is to say, parents as co-signers have to show both income and credit ratings. So they're a better loan. They're taken out by a higher income person. They represent, I think, about 10% of all college loans. And I think, actually, they're the best part of them.
Okay. Let's take a couple of calls. We've got some listeners standing by who'd like to get into this conversation. Let's go to Chris, who's calling from Weston. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
I guess my question is, why would someone who only makes, for the example in the article, why would someone who makes only $25,000 a year take out a $17,000 loan to send their kid to a college that costs in excess of $50,000 a year to go to?
Doesn't seem like a wise decision to you. Bob, what do you think of Chris's question? Is he right to sort of raise
Chris,
that?
Those numbers are right on, and that's the problem. And the only reason why that's possible on the government side is that they allow people to not show their income to get the loan.
Interesting. So, Bob, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Marion.
I would just add to it that in that instance, the mother and the daughter had an agreement that the daughter would go ahead and help her repay the loan. But the nature of the Parent PLUS loan is that it's in the mother's name. So even if the daughter falls behind and is unable to pay or help pay, you know, it's in her name and it ruins her credit. And I would also add that just a lot of low-income families or first-generation college student families have really aspirational, emotional, you know, it's a very emotional decision. They don't have a good sense of what college should cost and how much is too much. They just know they have to get their kids there.
And so, Bob, what's your advice to that? And you began to sort of go down that road a few minutes ago, this idea that really think about the value and maybe it's a decision to avoid the expensive private college and go toward a state college. Say more about that.
Yes, I think that parents going into the college process should be very, very wary of taking any college loans. Surely some people can take a certain amount of college loans. But remember something, college tuition is going up faster and faster each year. And therefore, the amount of borrowing you have to do goes up and up. I think that if the best option in Iowa is Iowa State or University of Iowa, that New England parents and kids should look hard at state schools to make sure they can afford their education.
Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Andover. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling. I mean, I have children. I put them. I said I would pay for college. I put them through college. A lot of it, especially the last 2 or 3 years with the Parent PLUS loans, my frustration is, you know, I think the earliest loan is 6 or 7 years old, and I'm paying it and all that, but I can't refinance to lower rates, and that's my frustration is, I think the speaker was talking before, it's at 7.9%, I think my loans are 8.25, but I can't even get to 7.9. I mean, they just won't let you do it.
Yeah, it's really surprising to hear that. I mean, the kind of loan, the only kind of loan that I'm familiar with is a mortgage loan. And, of course, you can always refinance when rates drop. But, Bob, not possible with these kind of loans.
Yes, and that is the lack of flexibility. If you go on to these websites of the government, you're going to see that what the government says is what the government does. So the listener is stuck.
The listener stuck. Well, Mark, thanks for the call, and I'm sorry for that situation. Marion, let me ask you. I know you've talked to college loan officers about this. What do they say in general about the growing number of folks taking out loans that are getting them into trouble? Is there a general acknowledgement amongst college loan folks that, they have to pay a little closer attention to this?
Yeah, there is a general acknowledgement that they know that families are able to overborrow through this, and they are aware that in some cases families may not be doing something that making decisions that is in their best financial interest or in their future interest. I've talked to folks who are saying, well, you know, the problem is that the government actually, this is a government program, and we can't not tell them about a resource that is available to them. And we don't feel it's really our place to step in and say, you're making a bad financial decision. We're not their financial advisors. We're just counseling them on financial aid and what's available to them. And so that sort of leaves this open spot where no one, neither the government nor schools feel fully comfortable in stepping into that spot and saying, look, this is too much.
Mm. And Bob, I'm wondering, in the advice that you hand out, is there a good rule of thumb for people who are heading to college about total student debt? What do you recommend in terms of what is feasible to take on?
We go one step before that and say, what are the total resources available to you, of which debt, of course, is one. But we find in our program of fuel that if you get going on savings early enough, if you are, let's say, a 3.0 student and can get some merit scholarships, and if you're poor enough, you can get need-based scholarships, you don't have to get into debt if you go into a state school. Clearly, a rate of debt of about $25,000 is the average now in America. It's a little bit more. The problem you have to work with, though, and one we tell our kids, though, is since everybody has student debt, you're going to marry student debt. So those numbers double. So it's a very precarious world.
A very, very precarious world indeed. Well, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us about some of the hazards and some of the ways around some of those hazards in this precarious world. Bob Hildreth, founder of Families United in Educational Leadership, an organization that provides incentives for lower-income families to save for their children's college education. Bob Hildreth, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And Marion Wang, reporter for ProPublica, a nonprofit investigative journalism. Her piece, The Parent Loan Trap, appeared in the Chronicle of Higher Education's most recent edition. Marion Wang, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Anthony.
Coming up, a new show at the ICA upends the sugar-coated memories of the 1980s. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.